This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.
What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are. And it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
Elon and Don Lemon's big cat fight, a MAGA influencer may be headed to jail over the January 6th riots, and Planet Fitness loses millions in market value due to a transgender controversy. This is Can't Cancel Rob Smith. All right, guys, so all anybody on the internet apparently has been talking about is Don Lemon's big new show. So Don Lemon's big new show is a big bomb, and I'm going to break down to you exactly why it's a big bomb. First of all, you know, I gotta say, like, I had to keep it real. Like, I don't harbor this kind of hatred for Don Lemon that everybody else on the right seems to harbor. But then again, I'm not on the right anymore. I'm independent. And let me just say this. As a black gay guy that's also operating in the media space, you know, Don Lemon is pretty much the only person that I can look to that's actually navigating this space in a really big way. So I've never kind of like rooted for him to fail. I know like a lot of the MAGA influencers and a lot of the people on the right are sort of celebrating why the show is not doing well. I'm going to tell you exactly why it's not doing well, but also like I don't hate Don Lemon. You know, I think I see him in a way that's different than a lot of the other people that are sort of right-leaning see him. But anyway, so the show's a bomb. It's not doing well. And we'll get into the numbers in a bit. But he has launched the show. This is called The Don Lemon Show. It's on his X profile. It's also on his YouTube channel. He launched this show to the kind of PR that you salivate over, that you dream over. Don Lemon had every piece of major mainstream media coverage that you can think of. The man was on The View. He was on his old home at CNN. He was absolutely everywhere promoting this show, and it debuted to, well, not very big numbers. So let's break the numbers down, first of all, and let's break down the way that he was trying to negotiate sort of the big launch of his show. So the big launch, the big interview was this interview with Elon Musk. And I got into this in the audio version of this podcast last week a little bit more. But I think the way that he went into this interview with Elon Musk was all wrong. I don't know that Don Lemon is the most talented on-air personality in the world, because he's really from this old school sort of mainstream media, sort of like gotcha journalism thing. And so I think that when he sat down with Elon Musk, his entire goal from the beginning, before they even sat down, it wasn't to have a real conversation with Elon Musk. It wasn't to kind of get Elon Musk's point of view on things. It was to kind of like do this gotcha thing where he has this big gotcha moment with Elon Musk, of course, who everybody on the left hates right now because he took away, you know, their toy for suppression of speech, which was X, you know, formerly known as Twitter. And look, you can get into all of the ways that the left conspired to control speech on Twitter. That is all been out there. It's documented facts, whatever. Moving on. I think that he wanted to go into this interview. I don't think that he had good intentions going into this interview. So he wanted to make this big, you know, media moment. He wanted to make Elon the villain. He wanted to make himself the victim. He wanted to get everybody that's already on his team, you know, on the left, left-leaning people. He wanted to get everybody that is on his team sort of on the anti-Elon train. And when you watch the interview, you have Elon, who's actually very vulnerable, very open. He's saying, I'm going to sit down and do this. And you can tell. And then Don is gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. It just doesn't work. All right. And you can watch all of those clips, you know, to really get into why it didn't work, to get into when he challenges Don Lemon on the DEI stuff and when Don challenges Elon on the DEI stuff, because there's a lot of people on the right now that are saying that the DEI stuff is basically making things more dangerous when it comes to aviation, when it comes to all this different stuff. And so instead of really digging into the things, he kind of lets Elon trap himself into saying that, well, some people on Twitter said this. Well, no, like, you have to come with facts. And Don kind of got him, and he said, well, you know, replies on Twitter aren't facts, right? Anyway, when you look at all of this stuff, it is clear to me, as somebody that is nowhere near as successful as Don Lemon, I mean, he's made it pretty much as big as you can make it in that space. And he also got cashed out to the tune of, I believe, $25 million by CNN to basically go away, right? They paid out his contract. That's as big as you get. But just because you're that big in this mainstream media space and you've had the mainstream media battery in your back for about 10, 15 years, because, you know, you got Time Warner and CNN promoting you, giving you that platform for decades and decades and for decades, or at least 15 years at this point, like, you can't buy that amount of PR. But that doesn't make you relevant to this space. And I'll tell you why. What this space demands more than anything else is people want to know who you really are. They don't want to know a version of you. They don't want to know the role that you're playing on CNN, where you're on CNN anchoring for a decade and you've got Jeff Zucker in your ear telling you what to say. And what people don't understand about the cable news space is that, like, when you're anchoring and you're on that set, that show is so tightly produced. You've got your guests. You know what questions you're going to ask. Like, you guide an interview in a certain way. And sometimes if you're a good interviewer and you're listening to people, new questions will come up as you listen to what they're saying. But you've got a lot of backing when you're playing that mainstream media game. You don't have that backing when it's just you and a camera in this digital media space. Even though I don't know what kind of team of producers that he has, you don't have that. And so the numbers are all this fanfare. You know, you're on The View, you're on CNN, you're doing all this thing. After all of this fanfare, the numbers were, I think he's got 2 million views of the full episode on X, and he's encroaching on 1 million views for the episode on Twitter. These are not good numbers. Any way you slice it, these are not good numbers. And for the second episode, and I'm going to get into a little clip right here, he brought Kara Swisher, you know, who's like the podcaster, the New York Times people, like all that other stuff, like just another sort of lib talking head to where they can sort of get together. I don't know how this appeals to people. And now he's kind of like, well, you know, was Elon, you know, mean to me or not? You know, did he not give me a good interview because I'm black and gay? It's like getting into that whole thing. So I'm going to play that clip for you. And this is him talking to Kara Swisher on what I believe is the second episode of the podcast. And I found it sort of very interesting that this is, you know, the way that he went. I'm going to play this for you.
And people have been asking me what I meant by when I said he did not like answering questions or being held to account from people like me. And so some people took it to mean a racial thing. I meant someone who has a different worldview. But since people raised it and you said what you said, do you think that he was uncomfortable? I didn't want to go there. Do you think he was uncomfortable sitting in front of a gay black guy?
Probably more gay than black, I would think. I hate to say that, but I don't know.
I mean, answer questions from...
I don't think he likes control beyond himself. And so it doesn't matter who's exerting it. I don't think he much likes Joe Biden either.
All right, so when you look at that, like, do I think that Don Lemon's sort of like trying to play that card? I don't see it as that. I think that as his mind, like as those sort of mainstream media wheels are turning in his head, he knows how to get headlines from that interview. All right. And I think that it's sort of like an easy way to get headlines. I don't think that Elon Musk has a problem with him being black or gay or anything like that. Like, I don't get it. Although what I would say in Don's defense, like it's not a question that is entirely out of line to ask. Because, like, I had to tell you, like, I like Elon. I like the new Twitter. I was being suppressed hardcore in the old Twitter or X, whatever. But I will say that when you look at the kinds of things that people on X tweet and you look at the kinds of people that Elon is interacting with on Twitter and then you go to their accounts, for example, you know, everybody likes receipts. For example, there's an account on X called In Wokeness, and Elon engages with the In Wokeness account very regularly. And if you follow the In Wokeness account, which I do, they tweet out a lot of sort of pseudo racist videos. Like, you know, they're the ones on X that will tweet out videos of blacks, you know, ganging up on whites and all of that other stuff. So when you look at the kinds of accounts and the kinds of people that he interacts with, it's not an unfair question. I don't think that it's legitimate in this context. I think that Don Lemon is sort of looking for, you know, clicks. And at this point, this is what I think. And this is how I'm going to wrap this up. The only way for this show to survive, I believe the only way for this show to work is I want the Don Lemon from 2013, 2014. People do not remember that black people used to hate Don Lemon. Black people used to call Don Lemon Uncle Tom Coon. They used to call him all of the things that they call black conservatives or right-leaning people. Because when you look at this, there was a monologue that he did. It was like Don's talking points or something like that. This was CNN back in sort of 2013, 2014. This was the pre-Trump era. And he was saying things like, I walk through New York City and I smell weed. He was saying, young black men, pull your pants up. These were very much sort of center-right conservative ideals that are culturally, that have nothing to do with center-right conservative politics, but he got slammed. Black people hated him, okay? But then Trump came down the escalator in 2015, and he was hardcore on the super woke, super black, anti-Trump stuff, and all of a sudden black people loved him. So the only way for his show to work is for him to release his fear of being hated by certain factions of the left. Because this sort of milquetoast, mealy-mouthed, like, I'm going to do CNN on the internet, and like, I'm going to, you know, Elon was mean to me, and I'm going to talk to Kara Swisher about it, ain't it? I don't think people are into it. Up next, a social media influencer has been charged in the January 6th riot, could be headed to prison for her part in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Now,
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.
The social media influencer that I am talking about is, her name is, and I just want to make sure that I get this right because it's from the Post. Her name is Isabella DeLuca, and I have personal experience with Isabella DeLuca. I believe that, so this girl, this is a very young girl, the cute girl, MAGA influencer. There are a lot of people, you know, if you're not sort of up on MAGA influencer world, that's sort of like how I came into prominence. There's a lot of very young people and very new people that can amass a huge following on Twitter right now just by being like super, super staunchly pro-Trump. It's the easiest way to get any kind of social media following on Twitter right now, right? So I had met this girl a couple of times. She's very young, very cute. I believe that we've met a couple of times and like we've interacted on social media. So I'm giving you this context because this is somebody that I've had personal interaction with. Now I'm going to read you this from the post. A conservative social media influencer is facing federal charges for allegedly breaching the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021 and helping pass a stolen table out a broken window, according to court records made public Monday. Isabella Maria De Luca, who boasts more than 333,000 followers on X, was arrested last Friday in California, more than 3 years after the chaos at the Capitol. She's a 24-year-old Long Island native and former congressional intern, was one of several rioters who allegedly passed a table from a U.S. Senate terrace room to others outside the building that was then used against law enforcement. Let's see how much she is facing. It is saying that she is charged with theft of government property, disorderly conduct, and entering a restricted area. Well, look, these are all misdemeanors. So she is not really going to be at risk of being sort of thrown into jail. Like, there are January 6th protesters that, like, they threw these guys in prison and threw away the key. All right? And so, look, when you go to January 6th, like, I'm going to give you some perspective on January 6th because there was this really dark energy in Washington, D.C. in the months leading up to January 6th. If you've been a longtime problematic, you will know that, and I've been open about this before, I was invited by multiple organizations. This was back when I was very deep into sort of MAGA world. I was invited by multiple organizations. We're going to go to D.C. We're going to do, you know, this protest for the Capitol, whatever. I declined. I said, absolutely not. And I will tell you the number one reason that I said why not is that a few months prior, there was something called the Million MAGA March in Washington, D.C. Now, the Million MAGA March was right after the election was lost, and it was in the height of the stolen election stuff that all of the MAGA people were really getting into. I was on book tour at the time. Shout out to Always a Soldier. You can still get that out there on Amazon. May do something else with that this fall. May add a little more new material onto it. I don't know. Anyway, I was on book tour in DC at the time, and I decided to just kind of stick around for a little bit for the Million MAGA March to see what this was all about. And I got to tell you guys, the energy in DC was so dark. It was ugly. As soon as the sun went down after that Million MAGA March, number one, it was just the energy was just weird because you have at that point in time so many people that were coming to DC just to clash, all right? MAGA types, Antifa types, all of that stuff, they were coming to DC just to antagonize each other. And after the sun went down that night, I was like, I need to get off of these streets. And this was never covered in mainstream media, but if you were on Twitter at the time and Twitter was under sort of regime control, so they were hiding a lot of information, suppressing a lot of information at that time on Twitter. If you were on Twitter at the time, you would see there were clashes. There was MAGA versus Antifa. There was riots all on the streets. It was absolutely insane. And that stuff was, mainstream media did not cover this at all. I think that that was a precursor to January 6th. I think that a lot of people in DC knew exactly what was coming. They knew exactly how to bait these people. They knew exactly who to entrap. And again, that's not saying that it was right for any of those people to do what they did, because it wasn't. And I remember losing tens of thousands of followers on Instagram at the time when I was just like, you know, this wasn't right. Like, this behavior wasn't right. So two things can be true, that these people were led and baited to DC by people who don't care about them. And I'm talking about the Stop the Steal people. And these people raised millions of dollars that nobody knows where it went to, which, by the way, none of that stuff has gone to the legal fees or to help protect any of these people that were led to DC by people that were there to deceive them. All right. And that's, again, one of those things that you're not allowed to say if you're MAGA, and I'm not in that MAGA world anymore, so I'll say it. They left these people out to dry, high and dry. You think that I got left out high to dry because, you know, some jerks sort of, like, harassed me? No. These people that fed into all of this lies and all of this stuff and ended up in D.C., taking over that Capitol, were led into a trap, and they got thrown under the bus. And it is really, really unfortunate. But I think somebody really needs to be saying about this, because look, the thing about the MAGA thing is that there's different levels of protection for different people that are in that world. If you're very high up in that world, you will be protected. You will have security. You will be safe. If you're just a regular dude or chick that gets caught up in that stuff, and you go to DC or wherever they try to get you to, thinking that you're fighting for America, you're fighting for whatever, these people will hang you out to dry and keep on moving. Now, thank God Isabella is really only charged with a couple of misdemeanors. Hopefully she can get off without jail time. But, and if I do like a deep dive episode and do a real deep dive into the J6 prisoners and all of that other stuff, there's so many of these people that, and we're talking 5, 10, 15 plus year prison sentences. And all that Stop the Steal money and all that Trump PAC money and all of that stuff is not going to help these people out. Now, you can say whatever you want about me. You can call me secret Democrat, secret lib, MAGA traitor, whatever. But that's just the truth. And so anybody that's really caught up in that, that is not protected in that way, if I can reach you guys and tell you, do not ever put yourself on the line for these people, because you will become Trump roadkill. Now, Isabella is only being charged with misdemeanors. I think she'll be okay. All of these other people are Trump roadkill, and those people do not care about these people. They are done with them. Done. At least, you know, on the left, at least when Kamala Harris and when they had all those people out destroying cities and all that stuff, you know, they promoted GoFundMes for the bail. Like, they did all of that stuff. I don't remember any money being raised by the Trump PACs or any of these MAGA people for any of those people that got thrown in jail for the Capitol riots. They're being left out high and dry. They are Trump roadkill. Do not become Trump roadkill. It ain't cute. Moving on. Planet Fitness is the latest culture war target after booting out a woman who complained about seeing a biological man shaving in her locker room. All right, this woman's name is Patricia Silva. She is of Fairbanks, Alaska. And she took to social media after being very perturbed by seeing a biological male that identifies as a transgender woman shaving in the locker room after a workout. And I'm going to play you exactly what she had to say.
Good day. I just wanted to say I just came out of Planet Fitness. And there is a man shaving in a women's bathroom. I realize he wants to be a woman. He gets to be a woman. I love him in Christ. He's a spiritual being having a human experience. He doesn't like his gender, so he wants to be a woman. But I'm not comfortable with him shaving in my bathroom. All right. I just thought I'd say it out loud.
Okay, so she posted this video on social media, and she also posted a photo of this biological male that identifies as a woman. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to share the photo here because, number one, and I'll get into why this is sort of like both sides are wrong here, and I'll get into that, but I'm not going to share this person on social media. But I'm looking at this person's photo right now, and let me tell you something. This is this man is making no attempt to pass, no attempt to look feminine. This is like a man. All right. This is not, I'm not seeing a wig. I'm not seeing no heels. I'm not seeing any of the stereotypical things that male to female transgender people generally do in order to pass as the opposite sex. Okay. We'll get back to that. So she has gone to social media to do this. Planet Fitness ended up canceling her membership and booting her from the club. Now, this has become a culture war issue with, you know, between, I don't even say between left and right, because there's not really anybody that's defending this, but conservatives pounce, right? Conservatives are hopping all over this, all right? It's getting a lot of traction. You got get the libs of TikTok, the regular crowd, like, when conservatives decide to jump on something on social media, they're very organized right now, and they will make it a thing. Like, look at Bud Light and Dylan Mulvaney. Like, they made Dylan Mulvaney a pariah, and they made Bud Light, like, they tanked Bud Light. But anyway, back to Planet Fitness. Stock is down. Between March 14th and March 19th, the stock went down $400 million from $5.3 billion to $4.9 billion, all right? And conservatives are like, you know, we need to give Bud Light, or excuse me, we need to give Planet Fitness the Bud Light treatment, all right? And now Planet Fitness is standing by their decision. You know, it's just a gobbledygook statement about, you know, we support the rights of transgender people to use the facilities in which they identify, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to break down why both sides are wrong. First of all, this woman, Patricia Silva, I'm a gym bro. All right, like, look, I'm a gym bro. I work out. You are not to snap photos of people in the locker room, point blank, period. You are not to snap photos of private citizens in the locker room and post that photo on social media. That's the first thing. I understand that she was upset. I understand that her space was threatened, and I respect that, and we're going to get to that. But you are not to post people's photos on social media. I've been a gym bro for years. You don't do it. Secondly, she has every right as a biological woman to express her discomfort with her space being disrupted in that way. She had every right to make that video. And I think that these gyms are really going to have to figure out how to make everything safe and acceptable for everybody. Do I believe that trans people, you know, deserve the right to be in gyms? Like, of course. But those rights don't supersede women's rights to their own, biological women's rights to feel safe in their own spaces. Now, I'm a man. I've been a gym bro for years. I know for a fact, and I'm going to tell you why this is different for men and women. I know for a fact that there have been female to male trans men in my locker room, and I'm not going to say the gym that I go to, I'm not going to put them out like that, but I know that there have been female to male transgender people in my gym. My gym is nationwide. I travel a lot, and I'm just aware, you know, as a physical man, as a 5'10.5, 190-pound muscular biological male, there is not a single male, female to male transgender person that exists in this world that is in any way a physical threat to me. So do I personally have issues with a female to male transgender person in my space? No, I do not. And that is me being 100% honest. I am not a biological woman. I do not know what it is like to be a biological woman who is 5'0", 85 pounds, and has a 6'3" male to female transgender person invading their space. All right. And I can never speak to that. But I do believe, though, that these women have every right to speak up, and they have every right to feel safe in their own spaces. And by the way, it's not just gyms, it's women's shelters, it's prisons. All the reporting is out there, and it has been out there, and it has been confirmed. And that is why we're at the place we're at right now as a country when it comes to this conversation. So Planet Fitness, like, I will point out Planet Fitness right now. They have to figure this out. And all gyms have to figure this out. You have to figure out a way to make the spaces open for trans people, but to also have biological men and biological women feel safe and comfortable in their locker room space. Now, I'm not speaking for all bio men. There are some bio men that may not feel comfortable with a female to male transgender person in their locker room space. But the point that I'm making, like, they may feel different from me, but the point that I'm making is that that person will never be a physical threat to me. So I personally don't care. Again, not a woman, not physically outmatched by a male to female transgender person in the locker room. Gyms, you got to figure it out. You got to figure it out, and it is up to you. It is up to you to come up with a policy that is going to hurt some feelings, but makes everybody feel acceptable. Like, you cannot put the safety of the majority on the back burner to the whims of a very, very tiny minority. Very tiny minority. You can't do it anymore. So this is a litmus test I don't think that the people that are calling for a Planet Fitness boycott are going to back down from this. I do not think that they should, because I think that this is a litmus test for gym culture in this country when it comes to trans issues. They need to figure it out. All right, everybody, thanks so much for joining Can't Cancel Rob Smith. Please watch and subscribe and share. It helps the algorithm so much here on youtube.com/@Can't Cancel Rob Smith. And if you are a listener, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, please go to youtube.com/@Can't Cancel Rob Smith. Watch and subscribe. I'll see you next time, Problematics.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.